And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. 33 states and the District of Columbia have legalized marijuana in some form. Kentucky, though, is not among them. Though a bill to make it so made it through a legislative committee earlier this year, that's as far as it got. The potential impact of medical marijuana on Kentucky is the focus of an upcoming conference in Lexington. It starts Monday. And joining Cincinnati Edition, our Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky CEO, Ben Chandler. He's on the phone. Hi, Ben.
How are you doing, Michael? Very nice to be with you.
Thanks for coming on. We also have former Director of Marijuana Coordination for the state of Colorado, Andrew Friedman. He joins us via Skype. Hi, Andrew.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
A little bit later on, we'll hear an interview that I conducted with State Representative Kim Moser, a Taylor Mill Republican who opposes medical marijuana. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and get some of those into the show. Ben, the name of this conference coming up next Monday is Medical Marijuana, Fact and Fiction, Practical Public Health Policy Considerations for Kentucky. I'm wondering if this isn't some indicator that health professionals are getting serious about the likelihood of this legalization coming to the Commonwealth. Can you tell us?
Well, first, let me thank Andrew Friedman, who's also on the phone with us, for joining us next week at our forum. He's going to be one of the featured speakers, and we appreciate that very much. What you said about legalizing medical marijuana in Kentucky is quite accurate. We think there's a tremendous amount of momentum for it. Whether you like it or not, the momentum is there. We see it in all the polling data. And as you said, 33 states have already legalized medical marijuana. And our goal in this undertaking is to simply make sure that policymakers and the public understand best they can the impact that both the current marijuana restrictions and the proposed changes in those restrictions will have on public health.
Ben, your last name is Chandler. That name goes back in Kentucky political history quite some time. And just as long, you know, there's sort of been this quiet conversation that Kentucky's top cash crop isn't tobacco. It's actually marijuana. This has always kind of been a little joke and obviously anecdotal. There's really no way to fully measure that. But for a state that does have that quiet reputation for growing marijuana that people enjoy smoking, why is Kentucky so far behind the other states in the nation in moving on this, do you think?
Well, first of all, the history of growing the plant goes back considerably further than that in Kentucky. In fact, one of my grandfathers actually grew it. He was a farmer and grew it for other purposes, but back in the 1930s, I know he grew it. In any event, the problem, of course, with Kentucky, I guess Mark Twain said it best when he said he wanted to be in Kentucky when the world ended, because everything happened 20 years later there. but we tend to be a little bit behind the curve on a lot of these public issues. This is a difficult issue. It's a difficult issue for most everybody because quite often, and we've seen this trend, when you get medical marijuana legalized, it tends to lead to the legalization of recreational marijuana. There are a lot of issues involved there. And, you know, we want to try to clarify as much of that as we can. We want to clarify what kind of regulations might be needed if it to protect people. How are you going to make sure that the products are pure? How are you going to make sure that the dosage is correct? How much will all of this cost? Will it be a boon to the state treasury, or will it be a drag on the state treasury? There are just a lot of issues, and I've only scratched the surface.
Andrew Friedman is the former director of marijuana coordination for the state of Colorado, which famously legalized marijuana for both medicinal and, I believe, recreational purposes as well. Is that correct, Andrew?
Yeah, for recreational.
Okay, you were there during this transition. Can you just talk about what that experience was like from your public policy position?
Yeah, so I came in just as we had legalized recreational marijuana to work for the governor. And oversee all the things Mr. Chandler was talking about there, from what do we do with the budget money to How do we make sure the regulations and policies are best protecting public health and public safety? I would say there was 1,000 different things that happened all at once, which I think was part of, I think, why this just hit the atmosphere so loudly. I mean, it was part of every news story. It was a big social and cultural moment in Colorado. But the top line numbers actually moved much more slowly than that, that you didn't see a dramatic change in youth use right away. You didn't see a dramatic change in those checking in for addiction for marijuana. The roadways remained relatively the same in the short term. And so a lot of the issues are more nuanced than that and take a lot longer to flesh out. And I think, as you both have mentioned so far, it wasn't the first day marijuana came to Colorado. It was the first day marijuana legalization came to Colorado. And so, like, getting people prepared for the fact that this is, you know, the sky is not going to fall. On the other hand, there are a ton of very important issues, and not the least included of being there are new products that hit the market that have different potencies that can have negative side effects, both in the short term and the long term. There are purity issues, which we're seeing right now in the vaping world, that you need to make sure that the products making it through your quality control systems are the right things. And then there are long-term addiction issues, especially when you start to get corporate money attached to selling a substance. And how do we make sure we don't kind of go back to the times of the 1960s with tobacco? And we really make sure that that it's not being sold to people who have a tendency to become addicted to the substance.
From a policy perspective, Andrew, was there anything that you can talk about where the state had to roll back some of the freedoms that it had granted to marijuana users because they learned something they didn't know before?
Probably the best example of that would be edibles, that, you know, we had it passed by a constitutional amendment. And so on day one, we had kind of every edible available, gummy bears, really potent, what looked like essentially miniature Reese's peanut butter cups. And people were going and to the store, to the dispensary. They may not have used marijuana in a long time. This looked like the most friendly way to use it. And edibles can have a very, very intense reaction for people. And so we saw particularly naive users were having very bad, poor single first reactions. And it also was ending up outside of its package, and children and animals would end up eating it. And that would be end up either at the vet or the hospital themselves. We ended up having to go back to the drawing board and saying, how do we make sure that this is packaged in a responsible way that isn't overly attractive to youth and that ends up being in a sealed, locked container at all times?
So I think some Kentucky officials have referenced that they're watching what other states have done and what they've dealt with. And certainly State Representative Kim Mosier, a Republican from Kenton County here in northern Kentucky, has asked for more research on this. I'm going to play an interview that we did with her earlier this week and then have both of you weigh in on what her sentiment is and how that impacts the discussion that will be had at Monday's conference. Let's listen to me talk a little bit earlier to State Rep Kim Mosier. Representative Mosier, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about medical marijuana. I read a report on one of the Louisville TV station's website that identified you as one of the most vocal opponents of medical marijuana. Is that accurate?
You know, I oppose calling it medication just because it hasn't been FDA approved and it hasn't gone through the process that other medications go through to reach full development. Do I recognize that there are probably medicinal qualities? Yeah, there I'm sure are. And I just think that we need to have the FDA approval process kind of play out, and like it is for other cannabidiols that are being developed. You know, the process is working. So I'm not opposed to a medication being developed. I am just waiting for it to play out.
In the last session of the General Assembly, there was some legislation. It did pass one of the committees in the House, and that was as far as it got. You were in favor of adopting a resolution that encouraged further study of this. Where does that stand?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a resolution to basically create a, and I'd like to actually continue working on this, to create a pathway to better study it. But that's going to entail lifting marijuana from the Schedule I drug that it is on a federal level right now. And, so that's kind of a federal decision. But I would like to, look at how can we create a pathway to better research it. And Kentucky could be a real leader in this. We haven't passed marijuana for recreational purposes or medicinal purposes yet. So, I kind of think that this is our opportunity to really take a strong stand on getting the research that we keep saying that we need and, take it from there. If our universities would like to participate, I think that's a natural place for such research to live. And we already have hemp in Kentucky. It's been legalized on a federal level. And so now, we're beginning to see the proliferation of hemp. And I'd like to see the research, which now includes hemp and the CBDs, the cannabidiols, which are derived from hemp, include marijuana and the THC component.
In February, when the resolution that you presented what was approved by one of your committees, your colleague, Jason Neems, said that this was just a ploy to stall the progress of the medical marijuana bill. Was that true?
No, of course not. No, I mean, what we're looking to do is fully research and encourage what that resolution did is to encourage Congress to lift the ban or, to lift marijuana from Schedule I to be able to do research. And no, it's genuine. And I talk to Jason Neems all the time about this. And, he and I are I wouldn't even say that we're really on opposite sides, but, I think that we both want high-quality medicine. He just doesn't necessarily think that it should go through the FDA approval process like other medications do. My argument is we don't ask patients to smoke other medicines. We don't ask patients to grow other medicines themselves. We actually put it through a process for safety and dosing, and none of those things can be done right now with marijuana. So, that's kind of my hang-up about this whole thing. If you're going to call something medicine, I think that it needs to be treated like any other medicine.
So what are you looking for out of the 33 states, along with the District of Columbia, that have approved the use of what is commonly referred to as medical marijuana? Is there some type of clue that you're looking for, some type of observance where you would then feel more comfortable with being on board with this?
Sure. I mean, I think that part of any research institute, if that's what we call this, or any sort of group that takes a look at how cannabis works on certain disease process could also look at what the states who have legalized it are doing, how are things playing out there, what are some things that they wish they had done differently. Are there pros and cons that we should know about? And, right now we have the HIDA reports from across the nation, specifically the Rocky Mountain HIDA report in Colorado has a great deal of information on how things are playing out in Colorado. What's the fiscal impact, good and bad, and so forth. So, and the jury's still out on, the effectiveness of cannabis for all of the conditions that it's been advocated for. I just read a JAMA article yesterday. It's an updated article to a 2015 study that was kind of liberal in its thinking, and it's really kind of that they've come back, and this is the Journal of the American Medical Association, and I wouldn't call it quite full circle, but, they're just saying that, despite the lack of evidence, states have recommended cannabis, but it's really, it lacks evidence for its use. So, you know, I think it's important to pay attention to what the healthcare providers are saying about this.
What about from a standpoint of competition? I know that oftentimes lawmakers in Kentucky will think about a certain issue in the context of which surrounding states have it, whether we're talking about, you know, right to work legislation or casino gambling. And in the context of medical marijuana, you know, Kentucky borders seven states and several of them now have medical marijuana: Illinois, Missouri, Ohio, West Virginia. Do you think the state's at a competitive disadvantage if after the resolution to, let's say this research comes back, it's favorable in your eyes? Do you think too much time will have been lost from a competitive point of view?
Well, I mean, if you look at the states surrounding Kentucky who have legalized marijuana for a variety of conditions. Now, I mean, West Virginia is very strict in their provisions, and it's strictly medicinal. Ohio is a whole lot more lenient, but it's, you know, they've expanded to recreational. And, you know, I think that it's too early to say whether or not it's going to be a revenue generator. In some of the states who have had legal cannabis for years, California has had it for 20 years, Colorado, you know, their views are really liberal. And I don't know, we hear about the revenue that's being generated, but we don't really hear about the costs that are being offset or that, you know, are part of the problems that we're seeing with marijuana. So, you know, there are costs associated with the law enforcement side of things. You know, there's still problems with the black market. It's not solving the revenue issues that the states thought it might.
Representative Kim Moser is a Republican from Taylor Mills. She represents House District 64. Representative Moser, thanks so much for your time.
You are very welcome.
And let's continue live now with the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky CEO, Ben Chandler, and former Colorado marijuana czar, Andrew Friedman. We just have a couple of minutes left. Ben, you heard the state representative there. What's your reaction?
Well, it's hard to disagree with any of her concerns. I think she's got very, very valid concerns that we need to address, and that's precisely why we're having this forum next week. We want to try to address as many of those things as we can with the information that we have available, information, much of it coming from experience in other states. The one thing that Representative Moser does not have the luxury of, I'm afraid, is time. When you have 33 other states legalizing this, 12 having legalized it for recreation, this thing does have momentum. The polling says that medical marijuana is supported by a dramatic percentage of the population. So we just think that we need to get as much of the facts of open and available to the public as we possibly can, and that's what we're trying to do with this forum.
And Andrew, you heard some of the concerns as well. Do you think that the experience in Colorado has answered some of those concerns in your state?
If the question is whether or not Coloradans ultimately have been okay with legalization, has it rolled out how they thought it would? The answer is probably yes. It polls more popular now than even when it passed. But I think the question about whether or not we think we need more research in science, the answer is absolutely. But I can't agree more with where the discussion went. I don't think we have the luxury of getting that time. There doesn't look like the federal government's moving at any pace to get research. And there's a populist movement that has said, let us try this. And that sort of right to try mentality becomes harder and harder to deny when there's very little action going on the research front. And that I think it's people that have been waiting around for 50 years hearing very similar messages and want to go ahead with this. Either they're in pain today or they have a child in a situation, or there's a number of very sympathetic cases that it becomes harder and harder to say you should hold off until the FDA has done its work here, particularly because the FDA is not doing its work right now.
the Medical Marijuana Fact and Fiction Practical Public Health Policy Considerations for Kentucky is Monday, September 23rd at the Marriott Griffin Gate in Lexington. Details at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. My big thanks to Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky CEO Ben Chandler and former Colorado marijuana czar Andrew Friedman. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Pleasure to be here.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Find archives online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.